Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The ride of your life is Eddie Hood.
For those of you who cannot wait and love Daddy Hood, please head over to our Patreon. We have exclusive access to episodes. We have early access to episodes, and we have behind the scenes footage. Head on over there, sign up, be part of the exclusive Daddy Hood group, and join us over there. Welcome back to Daddy Hood. Today we have a very special guest joining us. She's not just one of Hollywood's most requested skincare experts, but she is a mother of triplets and an aesthetics nurse whose expertise has garnered the international recognition and clients such as Jessica Alba, Ruby Rose, Kyle Richards, Olivia Cupolo, and many others, myself included. not that I'm an international celebrity or anything, but with years of experience owning Beauty Park Medical Spa in Los Angeles, the go-to place for celebrities seeking out the perfect glow. Her clients often find themselves featured in publications like People Magazine's Most Beautiful List. You may have seen her on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, Simple Life with Paris Hilton, and on her own Emmy-nominated Netflix show, Skin Decisions, the one and only Nurse Jamie. Welcome to Daddy Hood.
Thank you. Oh, happy to be here.
I know. And for so many years, I've been coming to you for my skin with lasers and some injectables and just making sure that I'm always sort of on top of my game. And then we got to talking, and I told you we were going through this process, and you're like, hey, you know, I did IVF myself.
I did, and it worked. I gave birth to triplets.
Yeah. Well, so much to get into, but before, here on Daddy Hood, we like to start with a dad joke. So,
all right, let's do it.
If you will entertain me, here we go. Hey, Jamie, what's the best smelling insect?
I don't know. What?
A deodorant.
Oh,
so bad. So bad. You don't have to laugh at those. You don't have to laugh. We just do it to break the ice. All right. So there's a few different things, different topics that I want to get into just because you are an expert on all things skin. But before that, I want to talk about your story a little bit. I mean, people know you obviously as like the beauty esthetician, the place to go in town, but you are a mother of three and you had all three at the same exact time.
I know. Yes. I did fertility. Actually, I ran into some a couple patients of mine from, well, I guess it must have been 13 years ago because my kids are 12. And I did fertility, and I was like in a quandary. I was like, oh, I don't want to buy a package from the fertility doctor because I don't want to put it out in the universe that I want to do it more than once. So I said, and they had each done it. So, you know, I have the luxury of being able to talk to people that have gone through this experience. And I said, but I just don't want to put it out there that it's going to take me more than one time. And they're like, it always takes more than one time. Buy the package. But I didn't, because I thought, I'm just not doing that.
Yeah.
And they put three in, which I don't think they do anymore. And they all three took.
Yeah. Well, I think that's an important thing to talk about, because the reason why they put three or some cases two in is because only oftentimes one or two will take.
Right.
And it just sort of ups your percentages. But I love the fact, so you're somewhat of a Jordan, I think Jordan's like you. I'm definitely optimistic, and I'm more of the like manifester. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let's speak it into existence. It's going to happen. And Jordan is more like, I don't want to put that out there. Like, we got to sort of like just manage our expectations a little bit more, and he's a little more reserved when it comes to that.
Right. So yeah, I just I don't know. I don't know if it's superstition, or I think it was just kind of being like, it's gonna work. It's gonna be positive.
Yeah.
So yeah, I literally, it's gonna be your best project ever. So there is that overwhelming testimony that you hear from everyone that, you know, come on, the water's good. You know, come on in. But it really, I mean, I don't know. I can't think of anything. And I love what I do. Even after all these years, I love, love, love. I live for the makeover. But I don't know, your children, it really is. There is that like thing that it's almost like a zombie, like a moth to the flame, like must have a baby.
You know, it's
like a thing that happens that really, you know, I don't know. It kind of happened late for me. It wasn't like
How old were you when you were pregnant?
I was 39.
Okay. Incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, it wasn't that I stayed at the party too long. I just stayed at work too long. But it's like, it's still...
Which,
like,
by the way, is the new normal.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of women and even men, just family planning in general has changed so much over the years. People are prioritizing their careers and traveling and doing more things that they want to do in their life before they start having their families.
Yeah.
So it's changed.
Yeah, it has changed.
You were ahead of your time. You were the trendsetter for it. So I want to talk about the moment that you go into your doctor's office after you took the pregnancy test, obviously. And then the moment he did the first ultrasound, and he's like, they all three took. What was that like?
Well, you know how I'm sure, like, going through the process yourself, that they, in any medical procedure, they always talk about risk and complications. And they honestly didn't think that, they only thought that two of them were going to take.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, and this is like just moral dilemmas that happens with, you know, just modern medicine, that then they thought I should reduce, because then around week 15, the third one actually did kick in, you know, start growing. And then they worried, because, you know, there's only so much space and they need to cook for a certain amount of time in the oven.
Yeah.
And then you just run out of room, which is why they don't do multiples, really.
So who did you lean on through this experience? I mean, just your doctors to advise for, you know, your family and what was best for your body?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I had wanted a child so long that then, you know, then it was just like, oh my gosh, like to think about reducing was just like this like thing that I couldn't do. But, you know, it was also then, okay, it's not just me, it's also for the other two.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't do it. And then it turned out I was kind of the poster child for having triplets, because I'm tall and I have a long torso. So it just turned out that it was okay. I mean, it wasn't easy, I would definitely say.
Yeah.
And thank God I own a medical spa, because I had to laser the hell out of myself. But it was very efficient.
Yeah.
So yeah, like 1, 2, 3 and done.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into all the benefits of lasers and just, you know, the beauty tricks after pregnancy later on in this episode. But it was two boys and one girl, right?
Two girls and one
boy. Two girls. And I had it backwards. Yeah. Two girls and one boy. Because you knew what you put in, is that correct, with your embryos?
No, I didn't, because I had never had children. I don't know if they still do this, but they didn't recommend on spinning it, like, because that the longer out, then the more, you know, problems can happen. So I would have been happy with one that they just said to try to do this, even to get, you know, one or two.
Got it. What is full term? Do you know how long, like, full term for triplets? Because I know full term, the definition of full term changes for twins.
Yeah.
What was it for triplets?
I think it's like around 30 weeks. Now, mine were, I only made it to like 27 and a half.
Okay.
So, and so mine were definitely in the NICU for 2 months.
Yeah.
Which is awful, but then also kind of amazing. I mean, it was amazing because it worked out for me. Yeah. My kids are healthy, three healthy little terrorists. But yeah, they came home sleep trained and I don't even remember a lot of it. It's pretty awful right afterwards.
Yeah.
And I have a naturally low heart rate, and I know you're super athletic, but I'm not. Like, I couldn't run from here to the curb. But every time I get my blood pressure or anything taken, they're like, oh, are you a runner? I'm like, no. So, but
you said
so
it
they,
naturally low. Yeah,
I have a very, and so they wouldn't give me pain medicine afterwards because my heart rate like dropped.
Wow.
And so it was not my finest hour.
Yeah. So what, all of the obviously incredible achievements and accomplishments that you've had in your professional career, what's your proudest moment as a mother?
Oh my gosh. I mean, I guess when, I mean, I'm going to get all choked up, but I guess when they do things that they think they can't, you know, like riding a bike, which sounds so silly, but like, or playing in front of a group of people at a piano or hitting a ball. And, you know, I don't know, it's just silly. But when they do things like that, that they feel like they can't.
Yeah.
I love that.
Well, they have a badass CEO boss mom that has sort of paved the way for them.
I make my kids do everything. Like, smart. My kids power wash, they paint, like, they will know how to do everything. But see, I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere, and I think that's why I'm resourceful, because, you know, I know how to do pretty much everything. And I think that's important to, like, give them that work ethic and that drive and the ability to, like, just do it yourself.
Totally. I mean, we bonded off of this one of the first visits as well, because I was born in Indianapolis and we both were, you know, raised in the Midwest. But I always joke because I felt like I was always a jack of all trades, a master of none, where I just sort of did everything. But I didn't really, like, you know, I didn't have that one thing until football came along. But there's such a benefit of just trying new things. And I think keeping that sort of that child spirit in you as long as you can, where you're just like saying yes to everything and trying something once and just figuring out what you like and what you don't.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I think, like, not having a fear of failure and just, like, doing it over and over and over until, you know, kind of like that sense of pride that I get when my children do things. It's just giving, instilling that in them that, you know, no one, you know, I just feel like so many people are paralyzed by perfectionism.
Yeah.
And no one is perfect and you never get it done or right. Yeah. And just like staying focused and doing it again and again and again. And pretty much you could do anything you want if you just, you know, junkyard dog it, I guess, is just like bite down and don't let go.
Yeah. I love that, junkyard dog. We all have a little dog in us. How do the triplets feel about being triplets? Do they like it? Do two of them bond more than the other? What's the vibe?
I don't know if they have some twin speak or triplet speak thing like that. You know, I wouldn't know, but they, I was very grateful during COVID because I think that would have been a nightmare, you know, because at least I have my own little cult of, you know, children to like to just interact with each other. But I don't think they love it, you know, because they share a birthday. Yeah. They're never alone, you know. But from other twins and triplet parents and that I've spoken to, that they can't wait to get away from each other during college, but then they miss each other like, you know, the sun.
Yeah.
So I think that it is one of those things that, like, love, hate.
Good love, hate. We all love that a little bit. Okay, I really want to get into the self-care for women who are pregnant and or trying to become pregnant, because one of the main things that I've heard is a lot of women are told, hey, you know, take the stress off. And obviously when you're doing this, you can't stay on your, you know, injectable and your laser routine. Mm-hmm. You have to quit. What are some, you know, tips or tricks maybe for women who are trying to become pregnant and or are pregnant that want to still have those self-care days but can't do the normal routine that they normally do?
Well, I'm a huge fan of massage. I mean, I have so many different massaging facial tools. You know, I think no flow, no glow. I really do think it is a key to healthy, glowing skin. I just think that's something that's happening to all of us now because we're always on our phones and Zooms. Is like we, you have a drainage point, supraclavicle, and I think we just tend to carry our stress here, and then just on top of having like always that forward tilt, I think that it is kind of changing our jaw lines and the shape of our face. So it is like something that I'm always on a soapbox on. So, and then I just think too, with breastfeeding and always like down, and you'll see too, like you're always like, it is the most, your baby is like the most delicious thing, more delicious than any dessert. You know, you're just like kiss, 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 kiss. And so you're always in that forward tilt. So I think it's like, massage is key just to keep the lymphatic system going. It's a pumpless system. and puffiness, that's one of your biggest things. Like, you don't have to worry about filler because you're definitely full.
Yeah.
But I did miss Botox, I will say. And I will also confess that I did the tiniest little bit. And it's not worth it because I did it. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, here I've done all this work to have these kids. And then I've done this thing. And it's like, so when people ask me, I'm always like, don't, because it's like, you know, it's the ghost of Christmas past that haunts you the whole time. It's like, why did you do? And nothing happened. Like, and honestly, I will say probably it's not thousands, but I've been doing Botox injectables for over 20 years on people. And honestly, yes, many times it's happened that I've injected someone with Botox and they found out 2 weeks later they were pregnant. So nothing has ever happened in all that time, but because they can't do testing, they don't really know.
Right.
They don't know if it's local, so it's not recommended. And I just say, just for mental, it's just not worth it. That's my that's my takeaway on this.
Yeah.
Is just don't, because there's plenty of time.
Yeah. For anybody out there that's thinking about it, just know how much work and effort and love that went into the creation of it, and just hold that value over frozen face.
Exactly. Right.
So what, you know, what is, if anything, what is safe during pregnancy? Is it just massages, in your opinion?
It's mostly just massages. Yeah. It depends on how, I always just say get clearance from your OB. Sometimes they will clear you to do laser hair removal, some tightening treatments, but most of the time, it's just, I think it's better just to wait.
So let's then talk about afterbirth. What is, you know, what's the typical like range that, you know, they recommend and they look at for procedures or anything done after?
Well, then that also then depends on how long you breastfeed. And again, it's kind of something you have to check with your OB. But one thing that even is recommended by OBs is the M-Sculpt. Mm-hmm. I recommend that over like a waist trainer. So many women will do that to like pop back in shape, but it kind of restricts the muscle. So I definitely say the M-Sculpt is great. It's, you know, it's a magnet. Yeah. It causes those super maximal contractions that you cannot get with working out alone. So it just helps with the back. It helps to repair those muscles that are just like shredded. And it wasn't out 12 years ago. So that's new. So many people do that afterwards. And it just, like, even if you do it a few times, I think it, I mean, of course, there's no, I wish I would write that check in a second for just like, if you didn't have to diet, exercise, drink water, eat your cruciferous vegetables. I'm just talking about in addition to.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to just like help. Why not? You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, there is something also beautiful about just sort of that recovery process. I mean, I'm not a woman and I will never have to give birth, but, I know people are so quick to say, hey, I just need to get my body back, or I don't feel great right now. And obviously there's emotions and hormones and things that I will never be able to relate to. But I just think it's like, you know, having that moment of grace and gratitude that your body just made a human being, and in your case, three, and just sort of sitting with that and not like forcing it to get right back on the horse. You know, I don't know. I just think there's something about, you know, letting it, but it, with that being said, the longer you let it happen, is there risks, or is there, anything that can become problematic if you don't, you know, work on tightening around the core?
Well, yeah. Also too, like stretch marks, like the ideal time to treat them is when they're kind of still red. If they've already turned that iridescent, the striae, if they've turned that iridescent color, then they're harder to treat. So when they are a little more fresh, it's actually easier to repair them.
Why is that?
Because they're still healing and they haven't quite like formed, like etched in there. Okay. So it's kind of like a tear in a sweater. You know, you just rip that collagen fiber all the way across.
Yep.
And so if you do them like right away, it is like easier. Because weirdly, I didn't get any. I did laser like fairly soon afterwards because my kids were basically 2 months premature and my milk didn't even come in. So I didn't have to, I could start lasering pretty much right away.
Yep.
And I did, and I needed to. And I think it helped me a lot because, yeah, there was a lot of skin. So, but not everyone can do that, but it did help me.
Is it, do they tell you not to do injectables and lasers while you're breastfeeding? Is that a thing as well?
It's, again, it's like, it so depends on, some OBs will approve pump and dump, and then some people will say just wait.
Yep.
Again, because there's not testing. So I would say the majority, it's pretty much okay. Like after a certain time period. But I always just ask people to get approval from their OB, because then it also just, like, it just is peace of mind, because it's not, you know, these are all elective procedures, and this is like nothing needed. And, you know, so it's like,
you could wait a few months.
You can wait. Yeah. You can wait a little bit. Yeah.
Is there, what surrounding, you know, people say sometimes women have the pregnancy glow. Mm-hmm. What is going on with the skin and hair and body during that pregnancy that makes the skin glow?
Well, you have so much more blood flow, and then you're just like, you have so much more
nutrients,
fluid, and and so it's just puffiness, and you really do. I think some people do. I didn't. I was just miserable.
Yeah.
But I mean, I also had a very unusual experience. But yeah, it was. It's definitely increased blood flow to the area.
Yeah. And then, is there any scientific data behind any of like the placenta or all, you know how like some people have their skin, or they'll save the placenta, or they'll save stem cells from the cord blood? Is there anything that you've seen over the years that feel like works?
I mean, that is so controversial. I just literally saw that like about a month ago that they've done the first IVF from skin cells.
I think I saw that as well.
I think it was a sheep, Dolly.
Yeah.
So, from skin cells, which is just incredible.
Our science is,
I know, amazing. Right? Like, so I guess if I want to have a kid with Brad Pitt, I just need to go get some flecks of the skin. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It's just to think, wrap your mind around that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've always practiced progressive medicine, and maybe ahead of my time, I'm not sure. But I think it's great. I think I'm definitely a benefit of it. I benefit and I promote it. I think, why not? That's why they make this stuff, I guess. And so I have no moral dilemma with it. I think it's wonderful. I think it's beautiful. And I think there's just so many things going on that it's hard for people to get pregnant. And then it's just like, even in your instance, it's just like a modern parents. I think it just expands the capability and like how much love you have to give, and like what you wouldn't be able to do this process otherwise. So, and I wouldn't have been able to.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting point, just because I think most time when people hear IVF, it's sort of that last resort, right? And for you, you used it as a tool in your tool belt. You're like, mm-hmm. this is how I want to go about creating my family, and this is how I'm going to do it. And I think there's something so beautiful about that too, and about especially you being not in a same-sex relationship, because so often, you know, IVF sometimes gets scrutinized with same-sex couples mm-hmm. using it and going through that method. But I think it is important to acknowledge that a lot of the straight couples use IVF as well as a tool for either health reasons and medical reasons and or just family planning purposes.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's way more prevalent than people let on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's wildly popular. I think we saw, you know, what happened in Alabama.
That's crazy. That is still, like, I'm still wrapping my mind around that one. But yeah, anyway, to each his own, I guess. But yeah, I think it's, I'm a proponent. I think it's a beautiful thing, and it's definitely a miracle. And why wouldn't we use this tool?
Do your kids ever ask more about IVF, or do they know that they were?
They know a little more now. Like, but
because they're how old now?
They're 12.
Yeah,
and they all want to know who's first, which I will never tell.
I love this.
You know, so, and then they're like, well, we're going to find out when we see our birth certificates. And I said, but it's not right. And I was the only one that was in there. I said, no, I'm pretty sure that's wrong.
Yeah.
So I just, I'm not going to tell them, because then, of course, it's always going to be, I get shotgun, I'm the oldest, you know, I'm going to ride here, I'm going to do this. So.
I'm the oldest by minutes or seconds.
Yeah.
Did you have names picked out when you went to the hospital?
I had some names, but, you know, it's like having first and second, you know, middle names. Like, it was a lot of names to pick, so. Yeah.
And you didn't have to declare until...
You have, like, I think 5 days.
5 days to declare names.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah.
And so. Middle names?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. So we'll have to have all that lined up.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I won't even ask you that pressure because, yeah, I think it's...
Well, nowadays, too, I think Jordan and I are on the page that we have our name and we sort of are keeping it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Not that we're worried anybody's going to steal it, but, you know, like subconsciously sometimes people are like, oh, I heard that the other day. I don't know where I heard it from, but maybe that's what... And then it happens, like an unintentional steal. So we're sort of reserving and holding back our names from, you know, our little... option and shared notepad.
Oh, I love it.
But did you know they have an app now, this a baby names app, and it's like Tinder, and you just swipe, and Jordan and I sunk our usernames together, so anytime we both swipe right, we both get a notification that we matched on a name.
Oh my goodness, that's so cute.
It's such a clever and fun app, and who knows if we're actually even going to use the names that they recommend, but just a fun tool for couples, especially with us, to like feel like a little more bonded over the process.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to check it out. That sounds amazing. Yeah. I love it.
And there's some great names on there too. Have you had any family member or friends go through IVF after you? And if so,
I have referred a million patients to this place, and I pretty much everybody has been happy that I've sent there. I can tell you where, but yeah, I had a great experience. My doctor, I don't know if it's still the same, but they left me at, about week 15.
Yeah.
And so, and then you go, but see, I had an unusual, because then I also had a high risk OB, and then because I was so huge, even pregnancy pants didn't fit my legs because my son was like laying on a vessel that fed my legs. So then I had to go to a vascular doctor, and I walked like an old pair of scissors for the last little bit. But
I was going to ask the complications of having triplets and what your doctor sort of explained to you, and maybe what he didn't, that maybe you felt that was a little, you were like, I wish you would have told me this was going to happen if I had triplets. Was there anything like that?
I mean, they do tell you things, but again, it's just like being a provider and a patient. I think also people in the medical field are the worst patients. I think they are, you know, it's like, you know, just enough to make you dangerous.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like if they would have showed me pictures of people, of babies that were premature, I think it would have been more effective than just telling me, oh, to kind of limit my activity and stuff, because I am not a good person to just stay on bed rest. And then, you know, every day is so crucial when it's like at that moment. So I don't know. Like you said, working, give yourself some grace.
You were working through your pregnancy.
I definitely was. Yeah. I was allowed to work like very limited hours, but I know I probably never like adhered completely to it. I
think it's hard for a lot of people. Like in the perfect world, of course, everybody would stay at home and rest, but that's not the world we live in. And it's hard sometimes to make a living and have to feel productive. And also just, I know for me, it's like therapeutic to work and or work out or do your favorite activities. It's a mental thing just as much as it is physically moving.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it worked for me to just stay active and keep moving. But I had this whole thing. It literally looked like a jock strap that you wear on the outside of your body to like support my belly because it was a contraption because my belly was huge.
And how did you have any back issues having triplets?
I didn't have any back issues, but if I would sit on a couch or a chair, it takes three people to get me up at the end though. Yeah. Like well, it was
because there's four of you.
Yeah, it was four of us. So it was definitely an unusual experience. So, It worked. It was perfect. And my kids are great. And I'm really grateful for it.
I love that. Do you have any advice? This is separate from how we like to end the podcast, but do you have any advice for people that are going through IVF right now and or thinking about it? And to your point, saying like, hey, instead of having, you know, to possibly go through this two or three times, I want to put two in. What would be your advice to those people?
I mean, I think it's just like follow your gut and talk to your provider. And I just, when I went, I just said, hey, even before I fill out this paperwork, I'll pay you the money or whatever. I just said, I know in my field, I can get like microdermabrasion or a facelift. I said, yeah. I want the facelift. I want it the first time. I don't want to be in the bathroom crying every time I get my cycle. I said, I don't know how it works. I won't be on the internet. I won't be driving you bananas. I know how that is as a provider. I said, here's my credit card. Hit it as hard as you need to one time. I said, I don't know if that works. I don't know if it's possible, but that's my, that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
And I got what I ordered.
Yeah.
It was a little bit more than what I ordered, but I definitely got. So, I mean, I know that when my patients speak to me very directly, then I have a very clear understanding.
Yeah.
It's not like what you want. I think it's okay. Like, and if your provider's not okay with that, then you find the person that you can talk to.
Totally.
But I think how I pride myself on being a good provider is I listen to my patients and what they want. So I think I tried to do the same to my practitioner. You know, I just said, this is what I'd like to have.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's even possible. You just tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I did, and it worked.
I would assume most doctors would prefer that, because when you have clear instructions and also just a clear ask, and I think that's what's beautiful about IVF and family planning just in general, is you sort of have the way that you want to build your family. And there's so many different options, obviously, through IVF, IUI, adoption, just whatever works for you. But you put a plan together and you executed it. You said, this is what I want to do. This is how I want to go about it. And you got it done.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, I think it however it works for you, but why not partake?
I love it. So now I'm just going to ask the general advice for our listeners out there that are going through. It could be a life lesson, a poem, a quote, anything that you have on your heart that you sort of want to leave people feeling better about after they listen to this episode.
Oh my goodness. Well, my advice as a parent, I guess, is the best preschool is the closest one to you. And the other thing is get a baby scale, because you know, a traditional scale doesn't work, and it's so stressful because they're just tiny little things. They're like kittens.
Yeah.
And then the time in between your well child visit, it's like you can't really tell if they've gained weight or not, and then they spit up, and then like, are they going to the bathroom too much? Like their input and output, I guess, maybe as a nurse, or I think just as a parent, you just start wigging out about that.
Yeah.
And it just took a lot of like worries for me, because I just, no one was doing it at that time. I don't know if they do it more now, but I would definitely recommend getting a baby scale, because it was just, I don't know if because mine were preemies and it was so important for them to eat, or I just think you just panic about them eating enough.
Yeah.
So baby scale, I would highly recommend.
A lot of the things that you're saying make so much sense, like throughout all of this, it's basically peace of mind, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you can eliminate those worrying moments where you're like, I'm worried about this.
Mm-hmm.
I think the better off a lot of people would be. Like the anxiety is a very real thing, especially in the parenting world, because a lot of people have a lot of opinions and they're throwing a lot of facts at you. And you're like, oh, I can't keep up. It's too much. But, you know, having the little thing from having a scale, just knowing and sort of giving you that validation that, oh, my baby's gaining weight can go a long way.
I did a lot. I mean, also the Mamaroo. I don't know if that's still the cool thing, but that same, they're like robotic nannies. They're like those little baby screens.
Oh, okay.
Like they say it mimics the womb experience.
Got it.
Because, you know, they're just so used to like moving around all the time. So that saved my life. Those Mamaroos, I loved those.
You had three of them.
I had like probably 20 of them, because like I just had them in every, like, they were.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I had a Mamaroo factory. Those things, like, and I always gift it, you know, I still do. So I don't even know if it's still the coolest thing, but that yeah.
it makes so much sense.
It was great, and they have like iPod hookups and everything. So yeah, it's you definitely need a mama room. I'll have to get you one of those.
We're researching all of the products right now. So. Mm-hmm. So much, but thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
This was lovely and so informational for everybody out there. And thank you. And that's a wrap on Daddyhood.
The ride of your life is Daddyhood.